Good morning. The time is 9:06. Up a degree, now 28 degrees under overcast skies in downtown Wausau, corner of Washington Street and North 3rd Street, the palatial studios of Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 to 1230. I'm Chad Holmes, hour number two of the Chad Holmes Show, Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 to 1230. You can catch us online. Just go to bowfallsradio.com. Mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app. Coming up in just about 13 minutes or so, we'll be joined by Paul Miklik to talk Wisconsin sports. Lots to talk about. Brewers make a massive trade last night, trading former Cy Young Award winner Corbin Burns to Baltimore for a pair of young players and a future draft pick. Talk about that. Talk about the new Packer defensive coordinator, former Boston College head coach who's coming to a title town. Bucks a little bit of a struggle. Badgers blow a big lead. So, again, plenty to talk about Wisconsin sports-wise with Paul Miklik coming up at 9:20 this morning. Also, would like to, again, welcome in Ian Welsh, our in-studio engineer. Good morning, Ian.
Good morning, Chad.
Well, you were back at the rehearsals last night. Of course, less than 2 weeks now. 13 days until you open of the Drowsy Chaperone, Wausau Community Theater at the UWSP at Wausau campus, the Venega Theater. And I know that it was a you're off book, starting to put it all together. How did it go last night?
Last night was my first time doing the official run through of the show. And overall, I did pretty good. I had to work on my lines a little bit because I paraphrased a little bit, so I need to look back in my script to make sure I don't do that. But otherwise, I think it's coming along very nicely. But thankfully, I'm not the only one who's having trouble with the lines.
But usually when you first get off book,
book can be a little rough.
Exactly. And also, you have to play off each other. That's different than just going down your script and learning the lines, and it is truly a process, and that's what actors talk about all the time. It is the process, and that's one of the wonderful aspects of doing a show, because you start off with nothing. You get your script, you start working on your character, you start learning those lines, you start to connect with your castmates, and hopefully it all comes together when the curtain rises on opening night, where it's all ready to go.
Absolutely. It usually comes together in a very a beautiful way. Sometimes in a way you didn't even expect it to, which makes it even better.
Well, when I did it, it was like it would be just terrible for a long time. I mean, it would not come together. Then it would just click at a certain point. It would just click in, and then you start to really build on that. So, again, hopefully things will continue to be smooth.
Sometimes it feels like, when some rehearsals are tougher than others, it seems like you're messing up your lines, you're overthinking everything, you just think like this is a bad night, it's not going so well. And you talk to your other actors and they feel the same way, and you realize that you're going through the process together, and through all the highs and lows, you work out the problems, and in the end, it turns out to be a really wonderful show.
Well, good luck as you continue.
Thank you.
Do you rehearse on the weekends yet?
Nope. I don't. Not this weekend, but let me check my calendar here. Our first weekend rehearsal is our move-in that we have on Sunday the 11th.
So next weekend.
That's when we load into the theater. We move all the costumes and props and set pieces over there. And then we have our we kind of do like a dry run, just like going through all the music with the orchestra to just get a feel for, you know, how it sounds with the orchestra, like going through the songs, maybe do the dances a little bit. But yeah, it's a lot of fun. And we actually have our very first orchestra rehearsal tomorrow at the WCT building. So we're actually getting an extra orchestra rehearsal, which I believe is going to be very helpful.
Very good. So again, with your weekend off, I know last weekend you did a little traveling and got away and were able to have some fun. Any interesting things on the itinerary for this weekend?
Not for this weekend. However, next Friday, I'm actually going to be attending a fun little murder mystery Valentine's Day dinner with a friend of mine from theater. It's very like high society. It's like we can dress up in costume and they have a meal that's served and you get to be a character as soon as you get there and you get to solve a murder mystery. So it's a lot of fun.
Very good. Another big headline today, again, talked about this earlier, and during the Pat Kreitlow show earlier today, he has a weekly guest on Friday, Mark Jacob, former editor at the Chicago Tribune and Sun-Times, and very interesting thoughts on politics and the media. And this morning, there was a report. The U.S. Employers have added 353,000 new jobs in the month of January. And the headline in the New York Times says employers add 353,000 jobs as economy shows surprising strength. And the new year dawned on what has been a good economy for many workers, with the number of open jobs still exceeding the stock of people looking for positions. And Mark Jacob responded, said, based on the fact that surprising, we've seen this month after month after month, surprising. Economists surprised by the strength of the economy, surprised by the number of new jobs being put out there. And Mark Jacob put out an interesting tweet. He says, if analysts and journalists are constantly surprised, maybe they're just out of touch. And that's a good point, because that's what we've been hearing for month after month, year after year. We have coming up, we're going to have that recession coming up. 2022, recession's coming. 2023, recession's coming. 2024, recession's coming. And yet, we have 3.7% unemployment. We have consistent job growth month after month. We see the United States outperforming other countries around the world when it comes to economic numbers. When are people going to start to finally look at the facts? In fact, if you are one of these folks on the right who have been saying Joe Biden's not doing a good job, Joe Biden is not somebody that is doing a good job as president, because we see these numbers, the approval ratings are so much lower than they should be. I want to know, why do you think Joe Biden is not doing a good job? 715-382-9297. If you have a moment, get on that phone. I would like to hear your thoughts on that. 715-382-9297. And again, we've talked in the past with guests, and I've just pontificated myself about how the old matrix does not seem to work. The old metrics, where if you have low unemployment, if you have steady job growth, if you have the GDP growing, if you have take-home wages growing, that usually leads to popularity. It usually leads to re-election of the leaders. And yet, you see constantly these numbers where it says, basically, that the president's approval numbers are low, underwater. If you're one of those folks who gets the call from one of these many pollsters who says, when asked the question, do you approve of the job that Joe Biden is doing as president? Why would you say no right now? I don't understand that. Again, there's a reason why job numbers have gone up. There is a reason why the gross domestic product continues to rise quarter after quarter. There is a reason why we have not seen this recession that economists, especially on the right and right-wing media and right-wing politicians, have been almost begging for over the last number of years. Why? I don't understand why. And that's what I'd like to learn, maybe in the next number of shows. And that's something I'm going to bring up, because even if we don't have the time today to delve into it with calls, I would like you out there, if you don't think that Joe Biden is getting the approval from you for doing a satisfactory job as president, I really would like to know why. Because, again, the Bipartisan Infrastructure Act and all the other pieces of legislation passed, especially in the first 2 years, by Democrats have led to good economic numbers. It's baffling. It's baffling to me, and I really would like to know why. But we're going to make sure we discuss that in a significant way coming up in the next week or so. Coming up, we'll have our weekly Wisconsin sports segment with Paul Micklick coming up. I'm Chad Holmes. The time is 9:18. Chad Holmes Show, Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. Welcome back. Chad Holmes Show, Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. BowFallsRadio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app. And it's Friday, 9:20, so that means it's time to talk to Paul Micklick, talk about Wisconsin sports. Good morning.
Good morning, Chad. Hey, you got to, it's Friday. You got to be in a good mood. This is a good day, right, Chad? I know you're under the weather, but you got that taken care of yesterday
Hopefully. I've taken 3 pills, and I'm still waiting for the improvement to happen, but we're going to see.
Well, what do you think? You think that's magic?
I know.
It takes a little time.
I know.
You'll get better.
Well, boy, Mr. Optimism. We like it.
After last night, we have to be optimism, right?
Yeah.
After the last couple of nights, actually, to be honest.
Should we start with the big trade?
Yeah, that's one of them. Huh?
I think last night, because that was the breaking news last night, Corbin Burns is heading to Baltimore, new member of the Baltimore Orioles. Brewers trade their former Cy Young Award winner in exchange for shortstop Joey Ortiz, left-hander D.L. Hall, and also a competitive balance round A draft pick. So apparently the 34th pick. In the 2024 draft. Again, it's easy to get in here and act like you know everything. Before last night, I had not heard of Joey Ortiz. I had not heard of D.L. Hall. So it's hard to say. But looking at some of the write-ups.
Hear of some of the other guys before? You know what I'm saying? Like, this is kind of how it goes, right?
And that's the thing, though, as well. it's a roll of the dice, because how often have you seen where even the top prospects, they don't work out? But sometimes they do work out. And if they do work out, I mean, one of the most famous, I don't know if you're familiar, one of the most famous trades, but because it shows how old I am, was back in the late 80s when Atlanta traded Doyle Alexander to Detroit for a prospect named John Smoltz. Alexander came and was like 11-1 and was fantastic, helping Detroit win the division. But in the end, John Smoltz would then be a great pitcher for 15 years for the Braves. So in the end, Detroit got what they needed initially. And maybe Baltimore. I mean, Corbin Burns could go 24. Well, nobody wins 20 games anymore. But he could help them win a division, maybe go deeper into the playoffs. And yet, these guys could maybe be 15-year answers for the Brewers. But we saw back in the CC Sabathia trade, the Brewers gave up these terrific prospects who never panned out. None of those guys panned out for Cleveland. So Brewers only had CC for a couple months. But still, the Brewers won the trade because they got what they needed out of it. But Hall throws in the mid-90s, apparently has some pretty good stuff, could be a starter or a reliever. Ortiz, a shortstop, maybe that means Adames is on the move as well. And obviously, after last year where Burns was not thrilled with, I think, the whole arbitration thing, he wasn't coming back. So I guess when you put all those boxes together, what do you see? What do you see?
This is what I see. A guy that lost in the playoff game. Okay, he was 10-9 with 3.88 ERA. I'm not saying that he's not a Cy Young type pitcher, but I'm just, these are facts. Okay, he was 10-9 with a 3.88 ERA, and he lost the game in the playoff game.
Over the last 4 years, he had an ERA under 3. Total.
Okay.
I'm just throwing another fact.
That's a fact too.
Add a little.
Well, but the thing is, though, I'm talking about last year because they're coming off of last year. So, sure. so I'm going to go off of last year. And that's what he did last year. So, again, I'm not saying he's not a great pitcher, but didn't he start as a reliever and didn't he start off not very good?
Right.
Okay. This guy came and he's pitched in the major leagues in relief already. A very small sample. Okay. So this is not like some of those prospects you're talking about are guys that haven't been to the major leagues yet. That haven't. I mean, he's not been great. I mean, again, it's very small sample size. I understand that. And I'm just trying to put a spin on this because, like you just explained, we have no idea if this is good or bad or anything.
Right.
None of
we
us
will
do.
Not know.
But I know I did talk last year, at the end of the last year, in the middle of the season with you, that I didn't think Burns was that ace that he was supposed to be yet. I mean, and I don't know where this puts the Brewers. Are they in remote? Are they in a rebuild? Are they not? I have no idea right now. But Ortiz, remember, the third base, they don't have anybody right now either. So my guess is Ortiz is going to start somewhere.
By the way, what did you say his ERA was last year?
I thought it was 3.88.
3.39.
Okay. Well,
facts.
3.88.
10-8.
It was
10-8.
10-8. I said 10-8.
You said 10-9.
He lost a playoff game, so he was 10-9. Got you on that one. So make sure that we don't like judge this thing. I don't know. It might be a total.
No.
The more interesting thing about this whole situation is that we don't know what they're doing. I personally don't know. Are they going to try for like 3 years from now? Is that what they're doing now? I mean, because it's signing that rookie, that 18-year-old, to the outfield to a long-term contract. You know what I'm saying? Like, where are they going with this? And then they signed the first baseman a couple weeks ago, and I thought that meant that they were...
Yeah, Hoskins.
Yeah, that they were going to be in. What's your feel on that? I guess that I think that's more of the question.
I think they're trying to be the Tampa Bay Rays. I think they're trying to be a team that is consistently pretty good, but they're also going to be a team that when you get to the fifth year or whatever it may be, when you're coming up on free agency and when you're going to have to pay these guys, that you're going to trade them. And you've seen Tampa Bay from time to time get a Hoskins-type guy in there to at a price that works for them. I think that's what they're trying to be. They're trying to be the Tampa Bay Rays that they compete on a year-to-year basis, because much like every other sport, we've talked about this with football, outside of the Dodgers maybe, you don't see you know, the greatness out there. There's always a chance because, and nowadays with the way the playoffs are set up, it's a bit of a roll of the dice. You see 84 win Arizona, make it to the World Series. And I think the Brewers are okay with, hey, if we can get 87, 88 wins, get into the playoffs, maybe one of these years it will get hot at the right time. I think they want to be a team. I don't think they want to rebuild. I think they want to be a rolling rebuild team where they're competitive every year. And unless the Cubs start acting like a big market team and more like the Dodgers, because frankly, there's no excuse for Chicago. Correct. They should be better on a year-to-year basis than they are. But when they're not, that division is open because you've seen Pittsburgh struggle most of the time. You've seen Cincinnati struggle most of the time. And then last year, St. Louis struggled. And again, that division tends to be there. Yep. So I think the Brewers, at least from my point of view, are a team that likes to stay competitive. And I think that Antanasio and the folks in the front office realize that you're going to see a lot of empty seats. Milwaukee's not the kind of place that will fill that place up if they're 20 games under 500.
The one thing I would say about that is it would be early in the year when school's still in, and at the end of the year if they're not in it. Those people are still going to do their stuff right now, because it's part of the fabric of vacations.
We'll see. I think I remember days when they were struggling. Where I went to a game where
it was was the game at Coney Stadium? Or
no,
was it
this was very early in the Miller Park era. So I don't think you're going to – I think their attendance would tank big time if they truly went down farm. We'll talk more coming up after an information update. The time is 9:29. Chad Holmes Show, Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. And welcome back, Chad Holmes Show, Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. I forget, you wanted to make another point here about this this deal, about the, I forget what it was.
Yeah, it was just that I found it interesting that I don't know, I guess, what's all in anymore, because Baltimore has a real good lineup, a young lineup, like you said off air. Ortiz was like third deep, that's why they could get rid of him. So the question lies,
and he's a good prospect. That shows how deep that
sixth.
That,
I think sixth right. on their
but they're all shortstops.
But they're all shortstops, and the DL was a first round pick back in 2017. But that's not even what matters here. They're gonna have still right now, as with the Burns trade, they would have opening day roster about 90 million, and the Brewers would have 92. So if they're buying Burns or getting Burns, are they all in, or I don't know even what all in means anymore. Right. I don't know
It shows again the power of tanking, which I hate, because they were so bad for so many years. They were able to stock up their farm system. And then the added bonus of that is you don't have to pay these guys for the first few years. But at some point, the bill comes due. And at that point, that's I think what you're actually getting to is, does this organization, does this ownership group have the foresight to say, hey, we got away with all these incredibly low payrolls, but now we got to pay in order to give our fans who have been going through these tough years an opportunity to win big. That's all in my opinion.
Yep.
Where, hey, there's some – and there have been times Antanasio has shown that ability as well. I know it's easy to make him a target. There have been times, but at times I don't know where he comes from. It felt like early in his tenure he was more hands-on, where he was firing Ned Yost when they were in first place. They're making the CC deal. It seems like later on he's become more of a general owner. It felt like really early he was gung-ho on winning a championship and doing whatever it took. Lately it just feels like it's been more about the bottom line. Is that fair to say?
I mean, I guess if it's I wish I had that much money to worry about,
but over the last 6 years there have been times where the Brewers could have done something to get a CC level guy in for a push, But we don't see it quite as much anymore, do we?
I mean, I don't. And again, I think baseball's a little different.
And it's not easy to make some of those trades.
Correct.
And especially now, because there's so many teams in the playoffs. It used to be where there was a lot more teams out of it by the time you got to July.
So you had more trades.
And now everybody's in it until the end.
And you don't have as many trades. Pretty simple how that goes. I mean, that's what's happening. There's not, you don't see those trades anymore at that break the last couple of years. You just don't see it at the trading deadline anymore. I think it's a unique sport because if you're getting a pitcher, just think, and not a relief pitcher, and I think that's why the Brewers do go after relief pitchers, but if you get a starter in August 1st, you're getting a guy, think about this, you're getting a guy that's going to, what, do 10 starts for you? And you know what I'm saying? Like, play 10 times.
And nowadays, most of these guys go 5 innings.
So why would you make that trade now? It's not like it's your quarterback and he's going to be playing every down from August 1st.
But they did it. They did it with CC, and it was worth it.
It was. But I will say this. I'm going to say, though, when did they trade for him? Before the All-Star break.
Right. It was earlier.
You know what I'm saying? So that was even a different situation,
true.
I think.
True. I still think they have potential to be a good team this year. They still have. But it's that whole all-in thing. Where are they? Are they all in or are they rebuilding? They're somewhere in the middle. I mean, that's what they are because they still have some veteran players. They have some mixture of. I mean, it's.
But the thing is, let's not lie either, Chad. With that, but we got the number one pitcher, our number two pitcher, and our number five pitcher gone.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we got three holes and two of them are on the top. So you got Freddie, my man Miles.
Miley better do it.
And then Colin, who pitched a little bit, obviously, a lot, actually, so because of that.
So they went from having perhaps one of the best rotations in baseball to questionable rotation in baseball. And frankly, that's been carrying them for quite a long time. The pitching, whether it's the rotation or the relievers.
Correct.
Because they've been blessed with incredible closers for a number of years and really good starting pitching. So that means it's time for those bats. That's why Hoskins has hit 40 this year.
Correct. And the ironic thing is I got to, when I was down in Louisville going to Nashville last year, I got to see Gasser.
Yeah.
He's going to be in the rotation. I mean, so there's a guy. And the thing is, I didn't think that he was that impressive. I don't think they had the guys that can do that. You know what I mean? Like, so we'll see what happens with that rotation. And I think DL will be in that rotation.
Jeff Hafley. Jeff Hafley.
I forgot about him with so much stuff going on.
I know. That was this week.
Just 2 days ago.
So, I tell you, give him credit. Give the Packers credit. He was not on the list. I don't know. I mean, again, it's like talking about that trade. You know, it's so easy because, you know, that's what we do here. We get a microphone in front of our face. All right, time to make a definitive statement. Home run hire. Oh, terrible hire. I don't know. I mean, he's been around. He coached in the NFL. He's part of the 1 year at Ohio State. Had
you know
great numbers.
You know he comes. What tree he comes from?
What tree does he come
from?
Come
on, you don't know that.
Mike Pettine coaching tree.
Yes,
he's from the Mike Pettine coaching tree.
I figured that would eliminate him from your like
please,
list.
Please, please. But I mean, and the thing about it is, he's kind of the opposite of what you were talking about. You said you wanted somebody that had shown that he could do it at this level, that had a great defense at the NFL level. This does not fit. It fits basically the LaFleur philosophy of a young, up-and-comer, big energy guy, a guy from his own generation.
Can you tell me Joe Barry was up-and-coming?
I don't know. But again, it's like a younger guy. I mean, Barry.
It's his friend.
Where did you see that? Because you mentioned that to me. Where did you see that?
They're friends for a few. Was it with Washington there? Somewhere they're together once, and they're friends. They are friends. I mean, that again, not that matters, because to be honest with you, who are you going to bring in? Some of your enemy? I mean, that's not going to be realistic.
Right.
But when you were saying that I truly believe that that's what they should have went to. But with that being said, this guy is supposed to be aggressive. He's supposed to be really bumping, you know, the receivers outside, playing aggressive, coming with different blitzes. So I guess he basically has said what he wanted. Matt LaFleur said what he wanted with the style of football that he plays. And again, so that's who knows, like you said, who knows if it's going to work or not. The style, I think, is going to be obvious. It's going to be a different kind of style, and it's going to be more of an aggressive style. And it should be.
When you have that much number one draft pick talent, if you can't be aggressive with those kind of athletes and players, when can you be?
Think about this. I mean, I know Stokes didn't play much, but, you know, Stokes and Alexander are these are first-round picks. You know, I mean, they should be able to play man defense and be aggressive, and so I agree. And to throw Savage in there, too, to be honest with you. Obviously, he's not going to be playing at a receiver out there, but these are number one guys in the secondary that should be able to play football at aggressive.
Badgers blow it last night.
Yeah, that was a tough one.
I mean, the thing is, I'm willing to give them one pass.
Or, they did last year to them, too.
Right, right. But, I mean, they've been so good. I mean, they've been really consistently good. And then to see them let that one slip away. And, obviously, it hurts because you got Purdue coming up on Sunday. But, again, it's a long season where things like that happen. I guess it shows that the folks in Nebraska think it's a huge win because they go charging the court afterwards. But I guess what's your take, Jen? Number one, I mean, they're number six in the country, first in the Big Ten. Obviously, last night disappointing. But still, what this team has been doing has been very impressive.
They have been. They have, and that's how you got to look at it. The thing is, to be quite frank, I expected them to lose last night. Okay, going into it before the game.
Right.
Okay? But when you jump up to a 27-8 lead, I don't expect you to blow that lead.
Right.
If you're a number six ranked team in the nation. Right. And the thing is, the reality of it is they're not the number six ranked team in the nation. And it's disappointing that I thought this is one time, literally this whole time. Because I know I've never said to you, Chad, that I was upset with Greg Gard.
Right.
Today, that's a loss that you, that's on him.
What do you think he should have done?
Well,
I mean, I understand the idea. Well, they shouldn't lose a lead like that.
But I'm talking about the end of the game. They weren't playing to win. They weren't playing to win.
You're right. You're right in that respect. Yeah.
I mean, Chucky took a couple shots up there. at the end there, you know, it would remind me of the old Badgers sometimes where they wait the whole clock.
Yeah.
And then do you know what I'm saying?
The real, and again, you get terrible looks.
That's an iso ball.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, you can't have isolation basketball.
You're right.
So that's what I'm getting at. I'm not trying to, because I'm the biggest backer of him ever.
Yes, you are.
but that was on, sometimes we all make mistakes too, though. I mean,
right.
I blame myself
course,
for mistakes all the time.
Hopefully he learns from it.
It just one of those losses could really change the whole complexion of the season
as
it goes on.
And also at the end where you're seated both in the Big Ten tournament and the NCAA. I mean, you'd much rather be a one or two because
three or four you could lose.
Exactly. It gets much tougher very quickly.
And so, I mean, because you said at the beginning of this year early that both Marquette and Wisconsin should be a second week.
Yes. It's a lot easier as a one or a two.
It's a lot easier one as two. And right now, they're going to have difficulty getting those spots right now,
well,
I think.
Well, Marquette is settled, you know, a little bit better. They almost had a similar thing that happened to Wisconsin at Villanova.
Yes.
They had the big lead early, had it go away, but they were able to pull it out in the end.
And that was without Cam Jones.
That's the thing that's worrisome a little bit about Marquette. They're starting to
get injuries. Yeah, I mean, the kid that came back, Ross, he played 31 minutes. That was his first game back with a shoulder injury. They didn't even know he was going to play before. And if he doesn't play, they're in trouble. Because you're right, their depth is down to about seven guys now that he's comfortable with when they're healthy, when the Cam's back. Then that's going
to
be a problem.
And I think tomorrow's game at Georgetown, Georgetown's only 8-12, but they went to Providence, who is the killers of Wisconsin teams, and that was a big emotional game because Ed Cooley returned. This game tomorrow scares me to death going into Georgetown because it feels like that's a new coach who's starting to get a tune out of a struggling program. Road game.
They're young and they're starting to play good.
Yep. And how about the Bucks? 0-2 under Doc. I thought the game in Denver was encouraging. I thought
so did I.
And then the game against Portland, not quite as encouraging.
Yeah, it looks like you and me are thinking the same thing. I
and again, I real fast before you say it, whether they win or lose the first two games, ultimately, big picture wise, I don't think means a whole lot. But I do think listening to Doc, this guy knows basketball. I think they got a guy as a veteran head coach. It's a tough situation. We're in February. Yes. This is a hard thing to turn around.
Do you remember when Griffin got hired and he had his introduction? And I said it to you, and I'm like, man, it was just an odd. It sounded like an odd, like the guy did not
remind me of a guy who was a vice presidential candidate said, "Why am I here? Who am I?"
Yes, it was. There is definitely a difference with Doc. I would be shocked if they don't make it. Now it's different. Basketball is different than football, because I think one guy can make a huge difference right away. I would be shocked if they do not make a pretty substantial trade before. Because
unfortunately, the numbers have to work out, because the Bucks are over the limit. They have to make sure the numbers work out. It's not a case of
correct.
So they have to move out salary to bring in salary.
Correct, and that's what I'm saying. It's going to be somebody like Bobby Portis or something. You know what I'm saying? Somebody. Yeah, it's going to be a bigger name guy that's going to have to go. And that's because that's what he's going to be looking at right now. He's going to play the veterans. He showed it the first two games. A couple of those guys didn't even get any minutes in those two games. He's going to play the veterans, see what they got before the trade deadline, and then they're going to make a trade to see what they can do to get better defensively.
I think you may be onto something.
Well, let's hope. Maybe not winning, though. That's the only thing.
Well, enjoy the weekend.
Thanks, Chad. Hey, have a good weekend. Enjoy it. And life was all right.
Paul Mikulik joins us every Friday talking Wisconsin sports. We'll come back, have our daily history lesson, and wrap things up. Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. Keep the man up on his feet. Chad Holmes Show, Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, BowFallsRadio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app. The time is 9:51, overcast skies, 28 degrees in downtown Wausau. It is Groundhog Day. Yep, February the 2nd, 2024, day number 33 of 2024. That means there are 333 days remaining, because 3 is the big number. 33 days into the year,
yes,
333 left, because this year, being a leap year, 366 days in 2024. Well, let's take a look at some of the famous events that occurred on this date in history. 1887, the first Groundhog Day was observed in Punxsutawney, Pennsylvania. On this date in 1993, First Lady Hillary Clinton banned smoking in the White House. On this date in 2014, at the Super Bowl in East Rutherford, New Jersey, the Seahawks beat the Denver Broncos 43-8, a historic win for Seattle, who had not won a major championship in 30 years. On this date in 2019, R. Kelly was arrested after turning himself in on 10 counts of aggravated criminal sexual abuse, including with 3 minors. On this date in 2021, Jeff Bezos announced he would be stepping down as CEO of Amazon after 30 years. And 1 year ago today, in 2023, French-Canadian groundhog Fred La Marmette died. An entire ceremony was planned wherein Fred's estimate for Groundhog Day was to be presented. Instead, The event was used to announce his passing. How can a groundhog who's going to be part of the Groundhog Day celebration die on Groundhog's Day? Well, it happened.
Wow.
Some famous people who are celebrating birthdays today. TV chef Ina Garten, Barefoot Contessa, is 76. Brent Spiner played Lieutenant Data on Star Trek The Next Generation. Brent Spiner turning 75 years old today. Dwayne Chapman. Do you know who Dwayne Chapman is?
I do not.
No. Well, he is better known as Dog the Bounty Hunter. So Dwayne Chapman, Dog the Bounty Hunter, is 72 years old today. Supermodel Christy Brinkley. Christy Brinkley turning 70 today. Singer Shakira turning 47. Gemma Arterton from The King's Man is 38. Julia Fox from Uncut Gems is 34. Sony Nicole Bringus, Ramon Gibler on Fuller House, 22 years old today. And if you out there celebrating your birthday today, happy birthday to you from all of us at Bow Falls Radio 98.9 and 1230. Some special events being celebrated today. Of course, it is Groundhog Day.
Mm-hmm.
It is Groundhog Job Shadow Day.
Huh.
So, good day for job shadowing on Groundhog Day. It is Wear Red Day. I don't know why it's Wear Red Day. I don't have any red on. It is Hedgehog Day. Change Your Windshield Wipers Day.
I should probably do that on my car.
It is Self-Renewal Day. It is Lead Dog Day. It is Tater Tot Day. Do you like tater tots?
I do.
Yeah, big tater tot fan.
Very delicious.
Tater Tot Day. It is World Ukulele Day.
Cool.
And it is World Wetlands Day as well. So those are a bunch of the special events being acknowledged here today on February the 2nd of 2024. And time for our number of the day.
Okay.
And, of course, next week is Super Bowl week. Super Bowl Sunday coming up a week from Sunday. And Super Bowl Sunday is known for big parties. And
very true.
With a lot of food and drink to be had. And our number for the day is the number of calories Americans will consume during the Super Bowl.
Oh, boy.
And, of course, there were, what is there, like, I'm trying to remember. Is there like 400 million people in America? I can't remember what it is.
It's a lot of people. A
lot of people. So, and then you take all the millions and millions and millions of people that are involved in Super Bowl parties and all that. The number of calories that Americans will consume during the Super Bowl. I'll give you a multiple choice here. The first choice is 24 billion. Okay. 24 billion calories. The second choice is 27 billion calories.
Okay.
And the third choice is 31 billion calories. So 24 billion calories, 27 billion calories, 31 billion calories. How many calories will Americans consume during the Super Bowl?
Well, there's a lot of people in the world, and
these are Americans, only Americans.
Well, we are known for partying a lot and eating a lot of food on the football games. So I will say B. I'm going to go B.
27 billion.
Yeah.
Well, the number of calories Americans will consume during the Super Bowl is 27 billion.
Yes.
So you are correct.
Boy, that's a lot of calories.
End the work week with a victory. But that will wrap up this edition of the Chad Holmes Show. Thanks to our guests. We had Mike Clemens on during hour number one. We had Paul Micklegg here during hour number two. Don't forget, if you missed any of the program or our previous programs, you can get our show as a podcast. Just go to BowFallsRadio.com, click on shows, click on Chad Holmes Show, or wherever you get your podcasts. Coming up tonight, high school basketball. The boys, Wausau West, takes on Wisconsin Rapids. 7 o'clock airtime here on Bow Falls Radio. 98.9 and 1230, BowFallsRadio.com. Mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app. Tomorrow, Central Wisconsin Storm Hockey, the The number two Storm take on number one Superior, 150 for the airtime, also here on Bow Falls Radio. Ian, have a great weekend.
You too, Chad. Have a good weekend, everybody.
And we'll talk to you again on Monday. Chad Holmes Show, Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230.